Welcome to The Roofer Show with your host, Dave Sullivan. You found the podcast that helps roofing contractors grow their businesses, make more money, and have more free time. Each week, Dave interviews the industry's top experts who will give you actionable tips and strategies for the real world of construction to help you take your roofing business to the next level. So let's get down to business.
Hey everybody, what's up? Welcome to the Roofer Show podcast, the place to be if you want to grow a more profitable roofing business. I am your host, your coach, your teacher, Dave Sullivan. Sitting next to me, John DeLaurier, Peach State Roofing, Georgia. What is going on, John?
It is a great day, and who knew roofing could be so sweet?
I like that little tagline you got there. How's that working for you?
People love it. They want a shirt. Our brand has a lot of good feedback, and people are asking for like all kinds of apparel all the time. So I guess it means something.
My wife loves hers. I'm a little bigger than what it's pretty tight.
they don't make them any larger. I'm just kidding.
Double X. Okay. It's shrunk in the dryer. I think
that's right. That's exactly right.
Well, okay. So what do you got? What's happening this week? Last week, business, you got some good deals going. What can our audience learn from your experience in the last couple of weeks?
I think that if you are trying to present yourself with a solid brand, a solid reputation, you care about your Google reviews, you care about your truck wraps, the way that you are presented to your homeowners and you're in the residential space. And we mainly do retail, but this is a story about an insurance job. You have to always be searching to be better. And so we've just been more and more convicted that we're constantly trying to improve and improve in the from the perspective of the homeowner. So really quick, we got a referral lead. They had storm damage. The insurance is nationwide. Nationwide is going to be back and forth. They eventually, they're in and out. They're changing adjusters. We all know the story, if you're in the insurance game, how difficult it is right now to get insurance to cooperate in the right way.
Before you get into that, tell me about the referral. Where did that come from?
Directly from wearing apparel. Clay was wearing one of the hoodies at school. And he's a soccer coach at the school. And so that's how the conversation started. And I need a new roof. There you go. So just wear your apparel everywhere. That's wow. How the referral came.
Truck wraps, apparel, the yep. Whole deal. Always be representing your business in a professional way.
So we start our process a little bit different than most people. We order a Sun-X Xactimate. We do the inspection, we do company cam pictures, we do an Eagle view that all gets submitted to Sun-X. They present it. We did the inspection when the homeowner was not present. So Sun-X, Sun-X.biz, Sun-X.biz is how you find them. They are the, essentially the internal estimator for Monarch Roofing. So they do, retail estimates, and they do Xactimate estimates. They also do supplementing as well. For us, for Peach State Roofing, they only do Xactimates, and they will start doing some supplementing if we need it. But in general, we treat insurance work like retail work. So the only difference is in our ProLine proposal is that we will use the numbers from Sun-X Xactimate, and that's what we present to the insurance and to the homeowner. We also send the ESX file that Sun-X provides so that the adjuster has an easier time working with us. So that's how we do it. We present the same way. We still talk about complete roof systems. We talk about warranties. We talk about a good, better, best. So we're presenting at the, if it's a three-tab roof like this was, we're going to present at the base level, which is our Pinnacle Pristine. They can upgrade to Pinnacle Sun. They can upgrade to Pinnacle Impact. But they're going to get a better roof system using our Xactimate from Sun-X than the roof they currently have. So that's the beginning part of our process. So this is an interesting one where we're We're around $30,000 for the total Xactimate, just over $30,000. For anyone in the Southeast, this is like a 42 square roof. That's high, everybody. So what's included was some trim, corner boards, and cedar siding, as well as gutters and gutter guards. So the roof is actually end up being around, with the siding and trim repair, is around $21,000, just under $21,000. Again, that's where the Xactimate came in. I'm saying this because if you're listening, you'll kind of understand 42 square, $21,000.
All right. Well, good stuff. Well, today we've got a great interview. I've been trying to get Adam Benson, the roof strategist, is with us again today. And he's done a couple of shows with us before a while back. I haven't seen Adam in a while, so it's great to reconnect. He has got a new organization. I don't have the link right now, but it's in the show. We're just doing a quick intro, hopefully quick, about what we're going to talk about. And John, what do we talk about with Adam?
Well, we're going to talk about, I know one thing that's going to be talked about is the new law on March 11th that happened from the Department of Labor, how they're enforcing what they've been talking about for years, which is the 1099 versus W-2 situation. Specifically with home services, it impacts the roofing industry quite a bit. Anecdotally, from a Facebook post, someone has apparently already been made an example in one of the groups. It's a friend of the friend kind of deal, so I don't know for certain, but IRS showed up in the morning. By the afternoon, they had a huge fine. So you need to know. I mean, essentially, it affects sales reps, and it affects your production crews. Neither one of those groups wants to be converted to a W-2, almost none of them. The feedback that I get from all those types of individuals that run crews and the independent sales reps, they don't. My sales reps do not want to get converted to W-2. They want their independence. They want to operate the way that they do. They just want leads to sell jobs, and the crews just want roofs to build roofs. That they don't want to have to deal with the employer-employee situation where there's, you know, they got to be a certain place at a certain time and a certain day. Like, they want the freedom. So it's really controversial. I get it. We'll see how it actually shakes out, who's actually getting enforced, and will it continue to be enforced long-term? I think that it is an IRS tax cash grab. I think that most people are very happy with their situation and that they are actually complying. Like, for example, most crews, there's almost no crews that I know of that rely 90% on one organization. There definitely are, but for the most part, people that grow the roofing business from a sales perspective, they don't have one crew, they have multiple crews. So that one crew does not rely on 90% of their income from one company. They're working for multiple companies. Now, from the sales rep perspective, that's a different story. If you look at big organizations, specifically in Georgia, like Perimeter Roofing and Humboldt Roofing, these companies that are getting purchased by private equity, that's exactly how they're operating. They're captive without being captive. I don't know how their contracts work, but they are an independent sales contractor for these organizations. There's certain rules they abide by. I would imagine that they do their very best for somebody who is doing 10, 20, 40, 50 million, $100 million in sales. They're trying to be in compliance as much as possible. So if this affects them in a negative way, it's going to hurt both the companies and the sales reps. So that's something that my phone's been getting blown up the past 2 weeks. The day of, so we're recording this on the 19th of March. So for the past 8 days, people have been texting me and messaging me about it. And I honestly don't know enough, and I actually don't believe it's going to affect us until it does. I think that they're gonna make some examples of some people that are very easy, like low-hanging fruit types of companies that are really abusing the system. But for the most part, I think that roofing company owners want to comply, want the sales reps want to comply, the production teams want to comply. They're all trying to play by the right rules, and they want their independence. They want their freedom from a corporate type of situation. So that's just my feedback. I know there's definitely super successful Eustis Roofing, Monarch Roofing. There's a company in Texas called Clean Cut Roofing, where they're Clean Cut's the one that I know. I'm pretty sure Eustis as well. They have employee, like residential employee crews. I don't believe Monarch does. I could be wrong. I'm pretty sure they use subcontractors though. So it's going to affect everyone if they're using subcontractors of any kind. Yeah, that's what Adam will be talking about a lot. That's one of the things that is on the forefront of his mind. And since he made that video,
yep,
I'm sure he's getting blown up a lot.
Now, we had a great interview last week with Greg DeSimone, who is with Private Equity. Go back and listen to this show if you didn't catch it. It is really good. It's called, What's Your Business Worth to a Private Equity Firm? Okay. And everybody thinks their business is worth all this money. It's a great show. And the point that he made, which I thought was great, you've got to consider. And if you're thinking about going down this road, which, you know, there's all these things that we're looking for to get a look at private from private equity. One of the things is they're looking to reduce risk. Okay. And just as you said, John, they want to see companies in compliance. They don't want to buy a company and then come back and not only have these guys in here poking around, but they're going back on prior years. And the fines can be freaking amazing. I mean, you know, particularly when you're paying back all these payroll taxes and so forth that you didn't pay. Anyway, great show last week. We're going to get into it with Adam. It's something that you really want to pay attention to. And we'll have Philip Siegel back on here to talk about it, our attorney. And we'll get into the details another day here coming up soon. But before we get into that, I just want to thank our sponsor, and that is Ruby. John, you've used Ruby. They are remote receptionists. They answer your phone. They answer professionally. Friendly voice. They take care of business so you can go out and do the things that you should be doing, which is out selling roofs and managing your business, not taking phone calls from suppliers and all this garbage. John, what was your experience? You've used them for years. What do you think about Ruby?
Ruby is definitely a need, and it's filling a need in the roofing space specifically, or just any home service. If you're talking to customers or you want people to call you, you need to answer your phone every single time during business hours. You need to. And if you don't have a huge budget to hire a full-time receptionist, get.ruby.com/theroofercoach. We'll put the link in the show notes, but that is what you need to do. I did use Ruby for years, and they answered my phone, and it's very affordable, and they know your company's name. They know the weather during the phone call. They, especially, you know, it's pertinent to roofers. Like, is it raining or is it not raining? Do you need, you know, they would schedule the appointments for me. They're just a really, really good resource for someone who doesn't quite have the budget for a full-time receptionist or doesn't want to go that route. Or maybe you do have a full-time receptionist, and when they're going on lunch break, you want the phone to ring to Ruby. That is what you should be doing every single time, making sure that those very expensive leads are getting answered when they call you.
And also what I like, and we set this up specifically with the contractors that we work with, is a script that they use to pre-qualify these prospects that are calling in. And so you're only getting passed on true buyers. Okay. So they're great. Anyway, get.ruby.com/theroofercoach. Check them out. Go to their website, and they've got some great programs. I just want to take a minute to thank our sponsor, and that is SMA Support. These guys are great. They provide a fantastic service that so many contractors need. We're talking about giving you an inside salesperson to prep estimates, follow up with customers, and even help manage your schedule, all without the headache of hiring and training. or fill in the operations gap to ensure that jobs are scheduled and permits are pulled, and walk your customer through that five-star experience and even get that five-star review. SMA support handles all the behind-the-scenes work so you can focus on what you do best. Imagine your roofing business with no more dropped balls and don't have tasks falling through the cracks. So check out SMA Support at smasupport.us and tell them Dave sent you. All right. Well, let's get into our interview with Adam Benson. Adam, what is going on, man? Haven't seen you in a while.
Dave, it is so great to be back on the show, and it has been far too long, but I've enjoyed sending some emails back and forth between now and then, quite a few actually.
Well, it has been a while. It was back in January of 2021, episode number 205, we talked about how to build your sales dream team. And that's a great episode, man. I've been replaying it a lot because I get so much action out of it, but it's great. Episode 205, be sure everybody goes back and checks that out. But yeah, it has been a while. So bring us up to date. What's been going on? Give us a little background on what you're doing, how you got into this whole thing, and particularly how you got all this podcasts. And, you're doing it all.
Well, I'll bring everyone to the speed if folks have no idea who the hell I am, because I made that mistake before where you just jump in assuming. So Adam Benzman, formerly known as The Roof Strategist, I guess still known as The Roof Strategist, and host of The Roof Strategist YouTube channel and podcast. And it is the most followed roofing sales specific training on social media. We've got millions and millions of views. And I'm the creator of a sales system called the Roofing Sales Success Formula that is in use today by many, many, many thousands in every single state in the US, Canada, Australia, Sweden. I was actually just messaging with someone from South Africa not long ago. And I just got back today, literally this morning, from a speaking engagement to some roofers in north of Calgary in Red Deer, Canada. And I am the author of the book, The Roofing Sales Survival Guide: How to Beat the Odds, Overcome Yourself, and Win Big, which became a number one bestseller in the sales category on Amazon in under 24 hours. And no, that was no marketing gimmicks. That was roofers buying books. And also the founder now, the newest thing, is founder of the Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance. So been up to quite a bit since we've met.
Well, we were talking just a minute ago about how much you're traveling. I was saying, God, you're everywhere. You're talking about dialing it back a little bit and focusing more on your business. And this is what we talk about on this show, is so many contractors are doing so much. It's a good idea to back it off sometimes. And, you'll find that you work less, make more money, which is the goal,
I think. I mean, a big part of it is auditing auditing your time and your input. And your input can be measured against your output. And for some, for the way that my business runs, an input to go speak at an event isn't worth the output. Whereas my input investing time on my core business, if I had, let's say, even if I spoke for a full day, it cost me 2 or 3 days to get out there. That input is 3 days of time. What's the output from it? Whatever came from that one event. Whereas if I had 3 full days of time in the office, what can I produce in those 3 times? Well, I can invest in my community. I can create assets for my business. I can train my team. I can create content. And I can get a lot done that the output may be much higher. And that's what you and I were talking about, is having to audit what you're doing instead of just thinking being busy equals making money, because it's not. Right. Often the things that we're doing are keeping us from growth. And so I just did a really clear audit on where I'm putting my time. And now I've put in a lot of checks and balances, including an executive assistant to play gatekeeper and manage my schedule. And I only take meetings on Fridays, and I'm always like, I'm militant with my time now because it's so limited that you got to be smart about where you're putting it. And if you're letting it bleed, you'll bleed out your business.
Hey, I had a hell of a time getting in. I was backdooring, trying to get you, on the show and so forth. But no, I always appreciate, you always get back to my calls and emails. So I really appreciate it.
I always do.
You're my go-to guy, man, because we love your program. A lot of our guys are using it. It's awesome. But you got a new program going on. Just to start off, here I am on the West Coast out in California. where everybody's talking about storms and that type of market. And I'm the first to admit, I don't really know that much about it. Yeah. And that's why I always go to experts like yourself to explain it to me and so forth. So why don't you go ahead? I'm going to let you run with this thing because I want to hear about it. And I know our listeners do, but you've got a new program. You're really focusing this in. I've got some questions about really, you know, what's the problem here and what's the solutions? What are you doing with this group? Why'd you get started? Let's just get into it. Tell us all about it.
Yeah, happily. So I completely reinvented how I do business. And that came about from a variety of different reasons. Number one, my mission when I first got started, I call it this side, obviously on the training side from being in the business. I was former chief operating officer of a company that operated in 5 states and 6 cities. And I realized my passion was really developing sales talent, not dealing with being a professional firefighter all day. If you run a roofing company, you know how that goes. And
yeah, that goes.
Yeah. So I set out to disrupt the industry and bring a new flavor of sales training to what I thought was an industry that desperately needed it. You know, I knew that for the majority, I've spoken in front of many, many, many thousands of people. And I always ask, did anyone grow up wanting to be a roofer? And I kid you not, I can count on one hand the people that said they did. And the only people that did is because their dad was a roofer and it's a family business. Mm-hmm. Outside of that, not one person will raise their hand being like, yeah, I really wanted to be a roofer. So a lot of the folks that come into this business are like the way I did. You know, I was living below the poverty line. I tried to pursue my passions in natural medicine because people tell you to do what you're passionate about and you'll make money, which is the world's greatest lie. I think it's great to choose to be passionate about what you do, but most people, if you try to turn your passion into a career, is going to fail for 99.9% of us. And I wanted to provide training for the guy that was, or gal that was like me, that was like, I had no sales training. I was just a person that was down on my luck and living below the poverty line. And I discovered this little known opportunity called roofing sales. And many of the people that I work with didn't come from sales. And those that did come from other sales avenues had learned, like, in-home sales, especially in our day and age now, is just a very different animal than it once was, even 5 years ago, 10 years ago, even more. So the longer you go back, you know, the dated way of being in the house for a 4-hour appointment and you had two ways out, sign deal or a rack shotgun saying, get off my property, right? Like you were there, like you were in it to win it. The landscape has changed. And when I got started, I wrote on my whiteboard, I'll become the number one most followed in the industry. And it wasn't about me making that status. It was about knowing that if I did, I'd actually make a difference. And I wrote down my goal, or my mission statement, was to help people smash their income goal and give every customer an amazing experience. And I feel like I successfully have disrupted the industry. I think most, or many at least, I'd say majority of new salespeople coming into the business, if you jump online and search anything roofing sales, you're likely going to stumble upon my content. And I've been able to touch a lot of lives, which I'm really fortunate about. I said, you know, it's time for us to go bigger. And I really wanted to begin impacting homeowners directly. That second part, to give every customer an amazing experience, I could only do that so much if I was doing it directly through the vessel of a salesperson. So I wanted to add in another layer. So that was one thing. The other thing is that my sales system had fallen into the wrong hands. People that I wished not to support because they weren't ethical. I found out from their sales team directly that owners weren't paying them, homeowners weren't getting taken care of, liens were getting placed on properties, that kind of stuff. And I said, you know, I want nothing to do with supporting these companies. So how do I control this? And then it clicked one day.
You mean there's crooks in this industry?
I don't know if you know this. Fun fact, I thought it was market research shows that 77% of homeowners don't trust contractors. Now I'm willing to bet a lot of money. In fact, I'd probably go so far as to say, I'm willing to bet every penny in my name that if you walked up to a homeowner and said, which one do you trust less, an electrician or a roofer? That the roofer is going to rank a lot higher than the electrician. And you could probably go through, which one do you trust less, the painter or the roofer? Which one do you trust less, the plumber or the roofer? I think roofers are going to be really, really, really high up. And I go so far.
Car salesman, you know, right there.
they are auto mechanic, but I think 8 out of 10 homeowners don't trust roofers, because in the news is the scam. In the news is the con artists, the homeowners getting predatory sales practices or preyed upon or stolen from. And I wanted to create something bigger. And that's when it clicked. I kid you not. I had this idea 3 years ago, this vision in my head of doing this, and it, everything like made sense. But as probably the entrepreneurs listening, you know how like the idea, it's almost like the tip of your tongue phenomenon. You're like, I have it, but I can't, like the final piece of the puzzle was missing. And I was speaking at an event. I woke up at 4 a.m. I rolled over and I wrote down the Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance. Holy crap. That's it. The Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance, RSRA. That's what it is. And that's what we're going to do. And I'm going to be able to then work with the right roofers that have all taken a pledge and abide by a code of conduct. And now we're going to have a seal, a stamp of approval. So homeowners that work with those roofers are going to know, hey, these guys are legit. They're the real deal. They're not like the others. They're going to have their logo on their truck wraps, their logo on their shirts. They're going to have a member certificate in the sales appointment to show who we are. We're going to have resources available for those homeowners to consume. And I'm going to be able to teach people how to sell roofs, but not only sell roofs, but how to sell roofs as a member of the Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance with that third party endorsement. And I'm going to get on the news, which we did because our press release was picked up by 238 news articles across the US, including Fox, ABC, NBC, and USA Today. And I'm going to bring together all these roofers from in a way to support them, not only through sales training and giving them our system, but through that ongoing in the trenches support, myself with our other mentors, inside a private community, and collaborate and create an environment where people literally peel back the curtains and say, this is how I run my business. And today I'm so proud that we officially launched on March 1st. We have a waiting list right now that's 3 weeks long just to talk to our team about membership. So we're literally booked out 3 solid weeks, and we've got logos on truck wraps, logos added to websites. We've got members inside our community that are literally peeling back the curtain saying, here's my pay plans. This is how I run this SOP. This is this SOP. Here's the contracts. Here's the templates. Here's my marketing process. Like inside there, because it's under confidentiality agreement, it has been the most fulfilling thing that I've ever done. And I'm literally not sleeping. I mean, of course I'm sleeping, but you know what I mean? Like I'm waking up throughout the night with ideas and waking up early and working late hours and bringing this thing to life. So that's what led to what we're doing now, is solving those problems, which I can go into in a bit more detail too, if you wish.
You know, you're talking about getting these groups together and peeling back the curtain, everybody collaborating. And we do a fair amount of mastermind groups, with John and myself.
Yeah.
And it really solves a problem. I mean, I was a roofing contractor out here in California for 30 years, always involved with peer groups, masterminds, because as contractors, we're out there, we're just out there alone out in the wilderness. Mm-hmm. We don't know what we're doing. And we're always questioning ourselves. And what we find is having this groups together and being able to share information, it really gives you the confidence to run your business.
Yeah.
That you know what you're doing. You're able to, commiserate with others. And, because we don't have anybody that we can really talk to that understands this business. So I think that's awesome. So tell me more. And sounds like obviously there's a need. You've got a ton of people. So we talked about a little about what the problem is, but explain this to me a little more as a guy that, really doesn't know that much about storm business, why it attracts this caliber of people perhaps, and how is it sound so much easier to scam people? And I've seen a lot of this too.
Yeah. It's a really good question. And it's not, the Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance, I work with companies that are strictly retail. I work with companies that are strictly storm focused, and then many which are hybrid companies. And a lot of the riffraff starts in the storm business. Not to say there's some really scummy retail contractors as well. Like I said, I just got back from speaking to a group of Calgary and Edmonton contractors from in Alberta, Canada, and it's a predominantly retail market up there. And they deal with a lot of riffraff. And same thing, I've got some of the biggest contractors in the state of Washington. They deal with a lot of riffraff. But the storm environment, that's a special breed. Because in many states like Texas, which I think is, this is totally screwed up, you don't even need a license to be a roofer.
Right. Right.
The most dangerous
wild, wild west
profession in the trades. Mm-hmm. Don't even need to have a license. Like, how in the world is that right? The barrier to entry is so low. You get a lot of contractors. This goes just to the contracting space, to the trades in general. A lot of folks that are felons or have a criminal record, and many of them have cleaned themselves up. Like, one of my favorite people that's a client of mine was in prison for 17 years. He did something dumb when he was 17 years old and stayed in prison for 17 years. And he wised up, got a degree, came out. He's like, I ain't doing that stupid stuff. I was a kid. I was a dumb kid. And, you know, you can't get a job anywhere. And he ended up getting a job in the roofing space, and he's got his stuff together. Where else do you go at 32 years old with zero work history and a felony?
Mm-hmm.
You know, imagine sending in applications, work history, none, references, my parole officer, like,
that's right. You know, like,
what do I do? So this industry picked up a few skills
in prison.
Yeah. And it, and you know, unfortunately a lot of people don't change. So you get these low barrier to entry combined with, you know, the guys I went out to dinner with a couple of them yesterday. Calgary does get hailstorms. So their retail model, and then they capitalize on the storms when they come. But they told me that the last storm that hit one of the neighborhoods that they had some roofs in, they were out there. They saw, I forget the number, so I'm going to make it up, but it's like 20 or 30, 40 companies that are like flies on poop. You know, it's like it hailed, boom, they show up because the need is created and someone else is paying for it. So you have all of these roofs that need to get done. Someone else is paying for it, less obviously the deductible, which many would argue because many roofers are scummy and eat those, which is illegal. And then there's people that are listening saying, no, it's not, I can do this. And I can say, okay, great. It's actually fraudulent how most people are doing it objectively is fraudulent. So they then looked up in Canada, which Canada is far more regulated than the United States. And they looked up of those, like whatever I said, 20, 30, 40 companies. And I think one of them was registered to do business. So, and in the US, you get, again, low barrier to entry. People think they can make a bunch of money because you can, as you know, from doing the work that you do and helping people get their financials cleared up, which I think is one of the most valuable services for a roofing company. And if you're listening, you should hire Dave. by the way, he didn't pay me to say that. I mean that because cash flow is the number one thing. It's the number one thing that cripples a roofing company. And according to the Bureau of Labor and Statistics, 17.8% of companies make it till 20 years old. 17.8 or 17.2. I can't remember if it's 0.8 or 0.2, which means
that's on the high end, I would say. That's it's a lot less than that, I think.
I have the statistic. Let me pull it up so I don't give you the wrong one. I'm going to give me 2 seconds and I'm going to have it right here because I have it written down. And here it is. So 17.2% of companies will survive for 20 years. And that's according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, and that's all contractors in general. So roofing may be higher, which means that's an 82.8% failure rate. And the average life of a roofing company, anecdotally that I've heard, is 5 years. And listen to this. Oklahoma City. Do you know what the average lifespan is in Oklahoma City for a roofer?
I don't.
You won't even believe this because it literally sounds unbelievable. This is the epitome of a storm contractor that opened up and also a very under-regulated state. Mm-hmm. 11 months.
Wow.
11 months. Not even a year.
It's crazy, isn't it?
It's insane.
I say, you know, we look at a lot of financial statements, do a lot of financial work with contractors. You're right. You know, no telling where the money went. Mm-hmm. And they just run out of cash because they're not making a profit. They're not charging enough money for their product. Eventually, they're going to go out of business.
And the way they go out of business, getting back to your question about why the storm world's so corrupt, low barrier to entry and greed is the number one thing that poisons this industry. So you get these companies that a storm company can scale 10 times faster than a retail company. You know, one of the companies that I trained, they ended up getting acquired by PE, and I trained their company, 3 years in a row in person. They're using my sales system online. And I go out there, we finish training. There was a hailstorm. Their company in 6 weeks signed up 1,600 roofs in 6 weeks. So imagine, just for fun, you're putting down, you have 1,600 roofs. So what is material and labor going to look like on those? What on 1,600 roofs? Let's just say they're, by the way, their average roof is around 25,000. They're in Minnesota. I'll just call it 20,000. If they're putting down 30%, that's 6,000 times 1,600 roofs. That's $9.6 million. And I know that's an extreme. So let's say you sell 100 roofs. You're still at $600,000 of cash sitting out on the streets. That doesn't include paying your overhead, paying your office staff, whatever it is. And then now on this storm damage side, insurance companies drag their feet on depreciation, and there can be a battle and yada, yada. And anyway,
that's the thing about storm, you know, I mean, you know, I always say, hey, last guy off the ladder, pick up the check, man. It doesn't work like that in storm, does it?
No, it doesn't. You're waiting. And in certain states, it can be, I just, with our members asked, receivables average anywhere from 30 to 120 days. So if you're waiting 120 days, so now it stacks, you sell 100 roofs in a month, you have $600,000 cash outlay. And that's going to be, you know, let's say you're at a 60-day window. Well, by the time you're collecting that first 60,000, you've already racked up another 120. And these companies have no idea how to manage cash flow. And regulation and insurance company policies, there's so many threats hitting our industry now more than ever. I have my own beliefs on this, which I don't know if I should share or not, but maybe I will. I'll give you an example. The FSLA, that bill, which I'm going to pull up on my screen here, it says U.S. Department of Labor issues final rule on independent contractors. Mm-hmm. And that again is the Fair Labor Standards Act. Sorry, FLSA. I mixed up the letters there. FLSA, the Fair Labor Standards Act, went into effect March 11th with a new ruling called the economic reality test. So for many of us, our subs are independent contractors, and many of us, our salespeople are independent contractors. Now, either way, listen up, because this is the real deal. The economic reality test is a series of six questions, and I'm going to pull them up because I don't know those by heart. So economic reality test, I'll get you those from the DOL website and we'll break them down. But in a nutshell, the economic reality test says that if a person makes the majority of their income or all of their income from a single source, the economic reality is you're their employer. By the way, they repealed Trump's law. This was pushed through here. So far as I know, really quickly, I don't know, maybe it wasn't, but just caught on my radar pretty soon. But to get deeper, some people are like, oh, well, they're an independent contractor. They have their own business. They carry their own insurance. They don't care. Number one on the test, opportunity for profit or loss. So your salespeople, they don't have an opportunity to profit or loss. Number two, investments by the worker and the employer. So your sales team is not making investments. Your crew, arguably, but if you provide trucks, if you provide a dump trailer, if you provide shirts to your crew, if you provide anything that cloaks them as your brand, you're out of luck. Permanence of the work relationship. So an independent contractor is usually like Dave, if I was to hire you as my fractional CFO, that's a impermanent or project-based work relationship. I need help with this. You're impermanent. But if I brought you on board exclusively month to month indefinitely, and you've been working with me for 6 months and make 100% of your income, that's again, a permanent relationship. The next one is nature and degree of control. So your sales staff, if you're like, well, I don't give them hours. Well, if they have to show up at meetings, if there's any other control. I know that when I got the state looking at us because someone filed for unemployment, they investigated us and said, you know, they asked me a bunch of questions, and I had worked with our attorneys. We were in the gray area of 1099, as most were. By the way, most of our guys wanted to be 1099 because there's way more tax advantage to it. Right. And the state said, by definition, they were an employee because you gave them a business card and you told them what they could sell. And I'm like, well, we're a roofer and I can't have them selling pools because I can't do pools. And they were like, we don't care. The nature degree and control is that you gave them marketing material. They had pamphlets to use. They wore your shirt. They wore your business card. And we had all the other boxes checked. They carried their own insurance, own 1099 and everything else. Okay. Number five, whether the work performed is integral to the employer's business. So your installer, I don't know if you're a roofer, do you think crews are integral to your business or sales? So there's another one. And then number six is skill and initiative. And that one, I haven't gotten into the details as much. Again, it says that this factor primarily looks at whether the worker uses their own specialized skills together with business planning and effort to perform the work and support or grow a business. So that one doesn't really apply as much that I've seen. But yeah, anyway, it's this is one of the threats. We've got state law changing on the insurance side. Which Florida had already done, twice through SB 76 and then their special session that they had behind closed doors without any public forum. And I believe that a lot of this stuff is really designed to choke out the small company. The FLSA Act, I think this is my own opinion. I don't know if I can get in trouble saying this, but I see our government involved in two very expensive wars that we're funding and a border crisis that costs us billions of dollars a month, and we need some money. So what easier place to grab it from than our trades, which are some of our wealthiest businesses, and a lot of cash that they can collect really quickly by just flipping the switch and be like, yeah, you know what? You do need to do this because now they're going to be paying, collecting taxes on it. Now we got back taxes they can collect. And I also think it favors large corporations. You know, we see consolidation coming into the roofing space at breakneck speeds. We've got two or three portfolio groups that are on pace to be at $1 billion annual sales in a matter of, it might be less than a year,
yeah,
you know, a couple of years. And some of them formed 2 years ago or a year ago. And we've got technology threatening the industry, AI cutting people out. So there's a lot of threats. And that's another reason I wanted to bring people together is together as roofers, there's power in numbers. And I used to keep my group. I have my little group and I didn't market it. I was like, that's stupid because a 5-person company, are they as powerful as a 20-person company? No. Is a small government more powerful or a big government? The big one. Is 170 roofers working together powerful or is 500? 500 is. And when what I realized is it's not even about experience. Like I remember I was running a sales training for our group. I had a woman who joined the industry 6 weeks ago who taught me something. 6 weeks ago. She taught me a rebuttal that I had never heard before and it was brilliant. Her name's Kristen, and sadly, she actually passed away in a house fire, tragically, and shortly after this. And I just need to give credit where credit is due. So, Kristen, every time I mention this, you are paying it forward in spirit. And Kristen says to me on an objection, when a homeowner says, I don't want you to be involved with my insurance, I just want to see what they say first. And she says, Adam, I've been asking people this question. Would you have the person who owes you money tell you how much they owe you? And I was like, no. Would you trust the person? I missed the word trust, not have you. Would you trust the person who owes you money to tell you how much they owe you? And I was like, I never thought of that. It was brilliant. So companies, new, old, whether they're seasoned, like all different perspectives come together. And it's really rich to see just such a level of camaraderie and support that you just don't find elsewhere. Cause a lot of times, you know, you don't know who you can trust in the stuff that's public. You know, there is a saying, you get what you pay for. And if you're playing in free circles, you get free worthy advice. And when you're paying in circles where everybody's paying and knows it's safe to share things, you get better advice. You know, there's a reason that people like I'm about to join a mastermind for myself that I've been wanting to do for a long time. And it was a boatload of money. And I'm like, I'm making sure that I can get in there and I know who's in that group. And like, they're going to be sharing things in that group that's very different than they're going to be sharing openly, you know, to the whole world. So, yeah.
Well, let me jump in here on a couple of things, because you made a lot of great points. You know, you don't sugarcoat it. You tell it like it is. And the roofing business is pretty tough. You know, it's not easy, you know. And we always talk about the three-legged stool. It's three-legged stool of business. You got to sell work, you got to do work, and you've got to keep score. Every one of those legs has to be strong. You know, we talk about doing all these roofs through these storms, and one thing I don't understand, you know, the sales leg, not a problem. Mm-hmm. Then you got to do the work. Well,
yeah,
you got to be throwing B and C players out there. There's going to be problems. You know, there's just not enough guys to do the work. And all of a sudden, where do these guys come from? Then we talk about the keeping score part. And that really involves all the paperwork, all the running of the business, understanding where your cash is going. And as you say, you're right. That's, you know, cash flow is the biggest problem we've got.
Yeah.
And have to pay your guys. You got to pay your subs. You got to pay your material bill at some point, and you got a lot of cash sitting out there. It's crazy. So half these guys can't get their bills out, let alone collect their money. It's a mess. But you're talking about the 1099 rules. And I've done a number of podcasts, number of episodes on this over the years. And our labor attorney, Philip Siegel, great guy. I'm going to put you together with him because he really knows this. And we've been talking about this, and it's always been there. It goes back and forth, you know, depending on administrations, because you're right about Trump coming in, throwing that out, Biden's in, threw that out, and now really clamping down. You and I were talking earlier about the potential risk and what can happen. And there's all kinds of ways that you get tipped off. You know, a lot of it comes from the guys not being, you know, thinking they deserve overtime. Mm-hmm. Okay. They go to the labor department, say, hey, blah, blah, blah. Next thing you know, they're in there digging around. And then the next thing you know, their buddy at the IRS, which is next door. It's a huge mess, but you're exactly right about the test. That's all that matters. Whether you're sending a 1099, I got to deal with this all the time. I tell my guys, that's fine, you know, but I'm just telling you the potential risks, and they are huge, because you're talking about all the payroll taxes you haven't paid for all these years. Mm-hmm. And these guys are W-2 employees, period, man. Just as you say, if you're telling them what to do, they have to show up a certain time. They're not working for anybody else. They're not out there marketing their business. They're W-2. And the way things are looking now is that they're really clamping down on this, as you said.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so many people, like when you and I were talking before we started recording, that they feel like they're like, oh, well, we've been battling this for years. Like, duh, we all have. But what people need to wise up to is that this new amendment to FLSA takes that gray area and makes it gone. And even today, like there's I put up this video. If anyone wants to see it, go on the Roof Shredder's YouTube channel. It says new federal law shakes roofing industry. You can find the video where I give just kind of a high level overview of this. And it sparked a lot of discussions in the Facebook groups on from roofers. And one guy was laying into me, telling me I'm stupid and I don't know anything. And I'm like, well, I've talked to like attorneys and CPAs. I've studied the law. I've gone through this. I went through this 10 years ago with attorneys and CPAs. I knew what happened then. I know what's going on now. And I also, one of my clients when I was in the direct sales space was an attorney. And one of the very first things that happens if there's an injury when someone's getting sued is they look at employee classification.
Right.
And they can then sue you for employee misclassification. And then that opens up its own thing. So what so many people think, oh, well, I'm going to go. And now they're thinking like, oh, if I'm a 3058 direct seller instead, that's how real estate agents work. And, you know, is that any different? I don't know. But it's also like, when they start investigating this, that part I'm not sure of, if the 3058 direct seller status is being impacted by this law. I have to get into discovering that. And I've got two lawyers coming in to speak to our group very, very shortly, I think next week, about this law. But here's all the things that could trigger it for those that are like, no, we're better, we're smarter. Like, wise up, man. Number one, someone gets injured, you get sued. First thing they're going to do is look at workers' comp. And then the lawyer that sues you, because there's no shortage of personal injury lawyers in the United States, they are chomping at the bit to sue people. And they want to stab you where it hurts. And they'll go from all different angles. And employment classification is number one. Next thing that's going to happen, someone gets hurt on the job, and there should have been workers' comp. Again, maybe they don't sue you, but that'll trigger. Next thing that'll happen, someone gets in a car wreck, and they're on the job working for you in sales, and they have your magnets on their truck or something. If you don't have hired and non-owned auto, you get subrogated against from their insurance that they were representing your company. And then all again opens up the employee misclassification. Someone gets fired and they feel like they're owed unemployment. Then that goes to the State Department, and then they investigate, which is what happened to me. And I've not talked to one contractor who's had this happen as 1099 and said that the state was like, you're right, they're an independent contractor. The only reason that it didn't hurt us back then was because the guy quit. So he wasn't owed it to begin with. He wasn't fired. He quit. So the lady was like, yeah, this happened. And I've now, this is anecdotally, but I have heard of three different scenarios of investigations beginning on a state level into companies that are escalating to bringing in the IRS for this exact thing. And the law hasn't even passed, but they know it's coming. This was anecdotally what I've been hearing, very targeted towards the industries that they know they capitalize on, largely the trades, contractors, and or financial audits. So who's to say, now that we all know publicly the IRS has been staffed up to record high levels for audits, they didn't used to look at this, but now if your company is doing $10 million a year and you have four employees, how are you doing $10 million a year with four employees? Oh, I have a sales staff of 15. Let me take a look at those. Oh, those are independent contractors. Like, we just need, like, so many people are like, well, it didn't used to be like that. Well, what happens when it is? And for those that are like, oh, well, that was the way back then. But guess what? Even the money that many businesses got during COVID, I know companies, in fact, one of them is a good friend of mine. He got $250,000. He used it to keep his roofing company open. And the feds went over to him and said, hey, man, you owe 100% of that back and interest. And he's like, are you joking? Meanwhile, I know someone else who received $750,000. And you know what they did? They bought brand new cars, a couple of them. They bought a house. They bought vacation. Like, they... that $750,000 was a lifestyle pad. They never got it yet, the request to get the money back. So I personally don't trust our government for like at all. And I think that people that think, oh, well, I'll just get around it with this clever form, like, you're lying to no one but yourself. And it's like the person that drives drunk all the time, you'll get away with it until the one time you don't. And then when you don't, the consequences are really high.
Well, I think we're beating our head against the wall because we're a voice in the wilderness, man. I'll tell you, we've been.
Yeah.
And it's not a scare tactic or anything, but it's just basically, hey, understand what the risk is.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell the contractors I work with. Let's talk about in the group, the type of contractor that you're looking for, because I find that in a mastermind group, and this is what's so important about our groups, it's going to be a good fit for both people. And to be in a mastermind group, you got to bring something to the party. And that has to be, you're going to share your information. You're going to learn from others. And that's the whole point of being there. And if that's not you, if you're not willing to share with people, it's probably not right. So what type of contractor are you looking for?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm going to give you an answer that's less direct, and I'll tell you why. It's not like, they need to be doing X revenue to X revenue. Like, it doesn't matter. I got folks that are just getting going to, I'm talking to a portfolio group that is doing hundreds of millions of dollars in annual revenue. So I set out to solve these problems. And if you have these problems, then pay attention and then I'll get into qualifications. Problem number one is 2 out of 3 sales reps quit or get fired in their first year because they weren't prepared to succeed. Problem number two is 8 out of 10 homeowners don't trust us because greedy and corrupt contractors have ruined it for all of us. And number three is new fast changes are threatening our industry, like consolidation, technology, the economy, rising interest rates, insurance coverage, and changing policies. So we work together, united, to do one thing, to help you outsell, outgrow, and outcompete the rest as we stomp the scum out. Now, every single one of us is aligned around a deep why, and that is to reform the corrupt and greedy practices of the roofing and solar industry through leadership and action. So the first test is, if you hear that and you're like, that's me, and you want to become one of us, then I want you to hear our pledge. There's five things. Every member takes this pledge, and if you violate this pledge, you're kicked out and denied reentry. We police that through internal policing for members, as well as a complaint form from our customer-facing website. So the number one thing is on the pledge is to give an amazing customer service experience. Number two is to provide a transparent and educational sales experience. Number three is to take extreme ownership as leaders of oneself and one's team. Number four is to create a culture that our customers and employees are proud to be part of. And number five is to be a steward to those we serve in the roofing industry at large. So I'm most interested, if that gives you chills and you're like, that's something I want to be a part of, you're right for us. And you can fill out a form on our website. It's rsra.org/join. rsra.org/join. And you can learn more about what's included with membership. You can get a private tour. We'll ask you some questions because we want to obviously do our homework on your business, make sure you're a good fit as well. And then you can meet with our team, get a private tour, see for yourself. Obviously, we'll pop over the membership guide, walk you through everything. But my promise is that we are providing, bar none, the most value of anything available in the industry, dollar for dollar, period. And I will stand behind that to... As much as someone wants to beat me down, I will validate that every second of the day. Our rates are incredibly affordable, and I offer a 30-day money-back guarantee because I don't want people in there who don't want to be in there. So if you get in there and you're like, man, this isn't for me, that's cool. You can scoot and I'll buy it back. So probably a little more than you asked for, but I wanted to make sure that folks that are interested know exactly what they're getting into.
I love it. And that's great. So are you not doing, are you still doing the battle packs, and, or is this combined into there? Because you've got some great programs. I sent a lot of guys over to you that just love it and get a lot out of it. So tell me about that.
Yeah. All of my sales training is now exclusively available to members of RSRA. The reason for that is so we can, number one, teach you how to sell. But number two, I'm updating my sales systems to teach you how to sell as a member of RSRA, because you'll have our logo on your trucks, on your website. You'll have your pledging member certificate. You have new techniques. If you are doing door-to-door, if you're not, we've got techniques to use the RSRA endorsement to help warm homeowners up before the sales appointment, built out marketing collateral for you to use via the assignment selling process. And the other reason is I just don't want to be supporting folks that are scumbags. Yeah. So basically if you're in, you got access to absolutely everything I've got, which includes my full sales system, my roof with solar sales system, all my marketing material in the marketing battle pack, my recruiting training, all the pay plans, our entire mastermind group, our annual in-person event, and then the four other mentors in the group, which is Deshaun Bryant, John Cenac, Jim Aline, and Cody Landles. And it's everything is housed inside our exclusive app. If you search, you'll find it in the App Store. Unfortunately, you won't be able to use anything unless you're a member, but it's called the Reform Alliance. You'll find it in the App Store or on Google Play. And everything is right there at your fingertips to make it easy to become one of us.
And if our listeners want to get a little tease on... you know, how to build a sales team, how to sell, some of the things that you gave away earlier, check out episode 205. That was a great show. Anything to bring up the quality of the industry is welcome. So give us information one more time on how they can get in touch.
Yeah.
And let's wrap it up.
Awesome. If you're interested in becoming one of us and joining the Roofing and Solar Reform Alliance, go to www.rsra.org/join, rsra.org/join. And you can also call or text our office at 303-222-7133. That's 303-222-7133. And you can find me anywhere the internet exists. Search Adam Benzman or The Roof Strategist on your favorite social media platform, YouTube, podcast, TikTok, Instagram, LinkedIn, you name it. I'll be there and looking forward to continuing the conversation on that platform.
Fantastic. Adam, it's always a pleasure. Let's not make it so long this next time. And good luck with the new program, and we'll keep in touch.
Awesome. Dave, thanks a bunch.
Well, that's it for the show today. I really appreciate everybody listening. If you'd like to work with us, there's three ways that we might be able to help you. One is we do one-on-one coaching and we do business planning. Take a look at your business and we help you along with the three-legged stool, which is sell work, do work, and keep score. Keep that stool in balance and your business in balance. Second is we have a number of mastermind groups. We have groups starting at startup to $1 million in annual sales. And the other groups are $1 million to $5 million in annual sales. We focus our efforts on the smaller contractor, that underserved contractor that doesn't have as many coaching and learning opportunities. And if you want to learn more about that, how we can help you, how we get together with 6-8 non-competing contractors from around the country doing similar work that you are, and we collaborate and work together and build a community to help each other out. But that's an awesome program, something you might want to talk to us about. And three, we are doing a lot of bookkeeping help where we've got our bookkeepers that focus only on roofing companies. So we will go in, do the cleanup on your books, on your QuickBooks, get those organized in a way that you can really see what's going on. Set up your job costing so you can see which jobs are making money and which are not, and where you want to focus your efforts. And then each month we review your annual financial statements, teach you exactly what you're looking at, what you're looking for, set up the KPIs that you want to follow to manage your business. And that's the third leg of our stool, which is the keeping score. And this is where so many contractors fall down. So if that's something you're interested in, just go to theroofershow.com, check out the contact page. You can book a half hour appointment with me, get on the phone, talk. It's a free call, and we'll see if we can help you. Also, you can download our free one-page business plan on the site there, and that will get you started on the process of planning. And you've got to have a plan. What are you going to do for 2024 and beyond? So check that out, and until then, we'll see you next week on The Roofer Show.